I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Your voice, your vote. 6 days until election week. Special coverage with David Dujanovic.
Election day next Tuesday. Even if we shatter the national voter turnout record set in 1908, 65% turnout back then, it means millions of Americans still won't vote in 2020, even if we, let's say we beat it by 5 percentage points, we're at 70%. Why not? Why not? Why aren't you going to vote? Dave did the math on how many won't vote, and I was blown away.
Oh, Debbie, it's hard to even comprehend because this is 45% of the nation that is not voting in the best case scenario. Or 35% doing math on the fly. Leave me alone.
It's new math. We call
tens,
that new math.
Hundreds of, you know, tens of millions of people that are not voting. We're going to get Jason Perry of the Hinckley Institute of Politics on the phone to give us some insight on why people don't vote. Because you might be kind of surprised about this. Utah, we're in the bottom third of voting. The people that actually show up. He's going to give us his three best pitches to get out the vote.
I love it. Let's zero in on Utah specifically. In 2016, I was going over the data that was sent to me from the Lieutenant Governor's office, 57.85%. So let's just say 58% for sake of argument of eligible voters casted a ballot. That, again, as you said, Dave, puts us near the bottom of all states. Now, after the first presidential debate this year,
the new question Supreme is, Court Justice, radical left.
Will you shut up, man?
I heard from a lot of my friends, Dave. They were thinking about not voting after they heard that.
And one of the things I think people forget is you can vote, but not vote on certain races. You can protest the presidential vote if you want and say, you know what, I'm not voting for either of those guys, but I'm definitely voting for the judges. Or I'm voting for the initiatives or something, you know, farther down on the ballot. I think a lot of people think this is a homework. You've got to fill out every single answer. You don't. Vote in the ones you want.
I was reading an article about this, and it said things like people don't vote because they don't have a permanent address for a mail-in ballot. They don't have state ID. And so they feel overwhelmed by the process of getting one, or they don't know how to get one and vote. Here's my take on it. I think a lot of people don't vote because they feel as though their vote really won't matter in the end.
And for the people that feel that way, suck it up. You got to do it anyway. Your vote does matter. Don't allow yourself to get sucked into that argument, to that conversation, because it's a path that leads to nowhere. Debbie, the numbers that we're looking at, you know, 57, 58% of Utah voting, you know, hundreds of thousands, 800,000 people not voting that are eligible. That's a huge number. And some of these races are razor thin. Think of the 4th Congressional, McAdams, Love, separated by less than 700 votes. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a very close one this time around between McAdams and Burgess Owens.
Jason Perry, Hinckley Institute of Politics, good morning.
Glad to be with you.
Do you agree with my take that people just feel like their vote isn't going to count for much?
That happens so often when you talk to people about it. And we hear it all the time. People say, why would I vote? It doesn't matter at all anyway. I think you gave the number one reason right there. And people look out at the big scheme of things and their little place in it. They say, well, what does my vote really matter anyway? And the reality is it does, as you were just talking about. There are those races out there where it comes down to like the Mia Love, Ben McAdams, when it's less than 700 votes. We don't have a lot of those, but there are some races that do. But the voice matters no matter what, and that's the reality. But I think you hit the number one item.
What are some of the best reasons to vote? Give us your top three pitches.
About why we should vote? There are so many reasons. One is the easy one, is sometimes it is the difference in any particular race. But the second one is it's too easy just to think about your one vote as being the thing that vote that changes it or not. There is the collective power of our votes. That when we put it together, when I match mine with yours and with Deb's, it really does have the impact, not maybe just to change the election, but it also goes to where the country wants policies to go. This is my vote is in this column of this set of principles, this set of policies as well. And our voice does matter to that. And politicians do listen when you have a certain percentage of people saying, this is what I think should happen. And that does have a powerful effect. And also, for some of us, particularly when you start thinking about younger voters, we're trying to help them establish the patterns, the habits for their lives as well. And if you have a generation of people who don't, you know, even as when they're able to vote for the first time, they decide, it doesn't really matter if I vote or not. And the next time it becomes easier for them not to do it again. And that's a whole generation of missed opportunities to really influence the election process.
Do you think that even in a loss that you can send a message?
So it does. People do keep track of that. I mean, when you're talking about elected officials, they keep track of who wins, but they also keep track of how close it is on the other side. That's the reality. The losing proposition does have some kind of impact. And it leads to an interesting point I've been wondering about based on the conversation you had just at the top of this program here, too, is I think that some people think that when they're on one side of an issue that they're engaging in a way that's just as powerful as voting, like signing petitions or protests or getting involved in some kind of way on some of these issues. I'm worried that sometimes people feel like they're not going to vote because they're doing those things. But I said those things go into things that are on the ballot. Those things go into issues that people vote on. So it's not enough just to be engaged in your own way on the issues you care about. Even if you lose, vote on the issue, send the message.
We're going to talk to our listeners straight ahead, Jason, get them on the line and ask how they're feeling about voting or not voting. I read this quote, and it was in a 2014 article in Politico, and it was a quote by Democratic Party pollster. People feel they're victims of the process, that politics isn't something to participate in, it's something that is done to them. What's your take on that?
Well, I can see why sometimes people feel that way. You watch some of the debates, you talk about the discourse is often negative, and you start feeling like, well, these are decisions that impact me, but what can I really do about that? And that's I think just such a great message too, is keep in mind everything that's happening in the federal government, everything that's happening with our elected officials, these are levers of power, and we as voters have a chance to pull on them. To some extent, we do not have to be in the position right now where we just let these things happen to us. But I'll tell you what, if we don't vote, they will happen to us. That is a self-fulfilling prophecy right there that you just referred to. If I'm going to say it happens to me, I don't do it, then that's exactly what's going to happen.
Jason Perry, thank you so much for joining us with the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the University of Utah. There's the pitches. You got to vote.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
We're talking about voter apathy. Even if we smash the records, set in the years past for voter turnout, There's still hundreds of thousands of Utahns who won't vote. And I love what Jason Perry, the Hinckley Institute of Politics, just said, Dave, just told us. He gave us, you know, three good pitches to vote. I think my favorite one of the three was when he said, we're modeling for a younger generation when we vote.
Definitely. Yes, definitely. It's why I make my kids sit around while Dad explains every single one of his votes. And they hate it, Deb. They hate it. It is pulling teeth. But I make him do it because it's important. But we have 2.2 million voters in Utah. That's eligible voters, 2.2 million. And Debbie, last go around in 2016, we had 1.1 million vote. 1.1. That is a huge amount of Utah that is not voting.
In a moment, we're going to take your phone calls. 801-575-TALK. Now, I have grown to love election season. I've grown to love it. I really started to appreciate the process, Dave, when I was in college at ASU. I actually became a political science minor, so I dabbled in surveys, and I thought stuff like that was fascinating. But I think there's a lot of people who hate it. 801-575-TALK. And before we get to the phone calls, let me read this quote. I went back to it yesterday and grabbed it from a 2014 article. I remember reading it years ago. It was in Politico. It's a Democratic Party pollster. He says, quote, people feel they're victims of the process, that politics isn't something to participate in. It's something that's done to them. And I remember that quote because when I read it, I thought, root canal, that's what it feels like to some people. It's a root canal.
Yeah. I want to be romantic about it. I love it. I'd love for that story, you know, starry eyes, you know, the music playing in the background. Proud to be an American. I'm going to go do my duty. It is pulling teeth, Deb. It's pulling teeth because so often we're not choosing between two candidates that we really like. It's one candidate that we really like and one candidate that we can't stand. It would be amazing if I was choosing between my two best friends. That would be great, but that's not what happens.
I think it would make it worse. I think that would make it much tougher if you were voting between two people you really liked. I think it makes it easier when the candidates are so different to pick one or the other. Do we have calls, Dave?
We do. Marlene is on the line right now. Marlene, how you feeling about election season? Are you romantic about it?
Sort of. My dad was kind of like you. I've been around since God made dirt, and I voted forever. And it's a privilege for me to go. But I'm having a really hard time today. Our postal service is so messed up. I live next to Jimmy John's in Springville. And luckily, I have a person that when they get their mail, they don't throw it away. She brought me mail today that had mail from June and my regular mail that I didn't get yesterday. And I was going to mail in my ballot. I'm not now because I don't want it to arrive 6 months later. And how many other post offices are so messed up that we're putting our faith in? You know, there's a lot of younger kids that are voting for the first time. And if they listen to some news channels, they get one set of, you know, news. And if they listen to another, if they don't listen, then they don't hear the other side. And it's really important for parents to talk to their kids, you know, especially in COVID where we're all stuck together anyway. You know, we're talking about school and events and how they're feeling. This is an opportune time to talk about how they're feeling about what they're seeing and what they're hearing. And go vote.
thank you so much for that push to vote. It is so important to vote. Of course, Election Day is 1 week away next Tuesday. A couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, if you are concerned about your ballot, you know, it was at Marlene that just called. She just was talking about what happened with her mail. We talked a little while ago on the show, maybe an hour or so ago, about tracking your ballot. I tracked mine. It has arrived to wherever it needs to go, Salt Lake County Clerk's Office. And it's really easy to do it. Vote.utah.gov. There's a button You can see it right there. It's like track your vote. And just put your name and your address in, and you can track your ballot that way. So if you're feeling uneasy about it, that's one option. The other option is what Dave does. You drop it off at the drop box, and Dave does that on election day. And you can go to your, you know, county clerk website and find out where those drop boxes are in your area. So I think she brings up an excellent point. The other thing that I want to note, Dave, is absolutely source your news from different news sources. I say this when I go on and speak in front of groups, Dave, and I've done this for many, many years, for decades. I tell people, do not get your information from just one source. Shop multiple media outlets, media organizations for your news and information.
Yeah, the truth lies usually in between, right, of the polar opposites. Let's jump out to the lines. Paula from Sandy. Paula, how do you feel about election season?
I hate it.
You hate it?
Why?
I think she dropped hate it. I think a lot of people do, Deb. I think they, and it's not the ballot per se. It's everything that led up to it. It's the fighting. It's the bickering.
Is it the ads? Is it the ads for you, Dave?
Oh, for sure. Oh, it's difficult to listen to some of these ads because, again, how much truth is in these ads? There's probably elements of truth, but is it embellished on?
Would you pay attention if all the ads were loving and kind? Would you pay attention? Or do you suppose it's the high-pitched, so-and-so is horrible, you can't vote for this person because of this, this, and this. You should see what their spouse has been up to. You know, these are the kinds of ads, I think, that might be turning folks off.
Yeah. And once it does, and once we send a message that this kind of campaigning doesn't work, then it will change. But as long as it works, they're going to keep beating that drum, right? They're going to keep pounding that drum. Now, we hear this all the time. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. Get registered. Get out and vote. Which, fine, great. But it's more than that. It's more than getting registered. It's educating yourself about the pros and the cons of what you're voting on. And I think so many times we just pound this drum, we beat it, and say, get out and vote, without the qualifier of, you got to get educated, you got to know who you're voting for. And that's as important as actually casting the vote. Anyway, there you go. There's my soapbox. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you calling in. We love when you call into the show and participate that way. You're always welcome. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.